Well, Scoop, you went out on a limb last night and you tipped the Western Bulldogs to beat the Hawks.
I can't believe they've let me down.
And so far, you've been pushed down to the bottom of the tipping ladder. Ash Hansen is an assistant coach with the Bulldogs. And Ashley joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Ash. Thanks for having a chat to us.
Glad you're good, Sam. Pleasure.
Sum up the game in a nutshell for us before we get down to the nitty-gritty.
Bulldogs started well. Hawks overran a wasteful Bulldogs with the aid of a breeze in the last quarter.
So who played there? Who had the strongest team in Hawks? And we know they've got some injuries, but what sort of side did you field?
I think both teams had some significant players out through injury or through management. So probably from a games played experience point of view, I think we would have been more experienced. Mm. But I don't think the age differential would have been too different at the end of the day. So credit to Hawthorn, they really worked themselves into the game after we kind of exploded in the first quarter and put some scoreboard pressure on with the aid of a slight breeze to the Barclay Street end, for those that are familiar with the West. And Hawthorn really just chipped away throughout the day. We were leading at every break, apart from the one that mattered, which was the last.
Okay.
And probably just a bit wasteful with our ball movement at times, which was frustrating because we had some really promising passes of play, which we didn't capitalise on, and then we were a bit lax, to force that turnover on the rebound.
We had Matthew Lloyd in here on Monday, Scoop, and his assessment of where Aaron Norton was at this stage was sort of somewhere between Royce Hart, Ted Whitten, and Wayne Carey.
No, and himself.
And himself. How did actually Aaron Norton go?
Because Aaron didn't play, Jared, because he had a corky, so they put him on ice.
Right. Literally.
Yeah, well, he was icing up. But their forward line did actually look quite dangerous, okay. Ash. And that's including the fact that you didn't play Jamari Ugle-Hagan. I had a chat with Chris Grant today. He wasn't picked on form. And I guess you're in a good position where you get the number one pick but didn't finish last. So he's coming into a really competitive arena, and you're going to make him earn his spot up forward.
Yeah, that's right. And Jamari is an immense talent. Don't get us wrong, but we do have to, I suppose, temper some expectation with giving some context around a young man who missed a whole year of football last year and is coming in and competing against some pretty mature guys who are also very hungry, to forge their own careers in our forward line. So he wasn't picked, on training form to a degree, but just his path in the AFL is going to be an exciting one, but we're going to be patient with him to make sure that he's ready to have an impact when he does earn his spot. And you're right, Norton didn't play today through a cork, which he suffered in a match simulation session last week, but he should be right for the next year against Melbourne in 12 days' time.
So the ultimate question on everyone's lips at the present time, Ash, is the stand rule, the no play on when you're on the mark rule. I heard numerous people canning it today. Tom Elliott, I nearly had to call an ambulance for him. He was that apoplectic about it. Did it have an impact today, though, first run out?
We only had one infringement paid.
One?
Resulting in a goal. Yeah, we only had one paid against us. That was to Marcus Bontempelli, which even that was a little bit grey because watching it, the umpire didn't call play on and then awarded the 50-metre penalty after he signalled. So there was a little bit of confusion around that. But overall, I think the players have adapted to it. Obviously, with the more match practice that the teams have, the more practice the umpires have, I really feel for them, having to interpret that because they haven't got eyes on both the man on the mark and the play with the ball. So it nearly is who does move first to a degree, which is hard to adjudicate. So I think it'll find its balance. Certainly, being the ball movement coach at the footy club, I'm pretty excited about the opportunities and the channels that it can open for our ball movement. Yeah. But the players will find a level, they'll adapt. Whether the penalty being 50 metres is too large a penalty for the act is one maybe to debate. But certainly there's only one today, so I don't think it really took away from the spectacle too much. Sam might be able to speak from a spectator's point of view.
No, I agree. Yeah, it was barely noticeable at all.
Can I ask you, though, the details? I mean, how does the guy on the mark know when he can move? Does he have to wait for the umpire's signal?
Yes, he has to be told to play on.
Okay.
When play on's called, he can then move. So there are instances where the player with the ball moves,
yep,
and he is glued to the spot until he hears the umpire call that. Now, in a large stadium,
yep,
with 80,000 people or 50,000 people, whether they hear that,
yeah,
is going to be challenging. So that means, are they looking at the umpire for the signal, or are they looking at the player with the ball? So there's going to be some challenging parts to it.
I tell you what, Ash, it wasn't long ago, it doesn't feel long ago, that you were playing in grand finals for West Coast, but the thought of having to actually not move while standing on a mark, it's still, I've just watched a couple of players today, they did it well, but it's still pretty unnatural to not corral or not even move left and right to shuffle. I mean, that's the stuff that's going to get people in trouble.
Yes, and I think later in games, which is quite dangerous because the end result could be on the line, when players are fatigued is probably when,
yeah,
the interpreter or the rules going to be enforced even more, because guys are just in a fatigued state and do react what they've done for X amount of number of years where they can't control their movement. So, but they will adapt. We have before, and we'll continue to play by the rules as they're set out.
Ash, I wrote for the paper tomorrow, just looking at this game today live. I know Adam Treloar has been talked about as one of the big recruits for your footy club. Didn't play today, but Stephen Martin, age 34, Jerry.
Great pickup.
Not only did he play really well, but he allowed, I've gone completely blank, Tim English, thank you, to spend more time forward. And those two as a combo looked really dangerous. Now, I'm not sure if and how that's going to change when Norton does come back and play, or if that means that a Josh Bruce isn't going to be able to play, but it just looked like it really worked.
Yeah, well, in the final last year, we saw firsthand, you know, what the combination of two ruckmen can do with Ryder and Marshall at St Kilda. So we think that, you know, we can really explore a similar combination, you know, with Steph and Tim. And certainly Tim had four shots on goal today, and he's really starting to get his rhythm patterns and his aerial game in front of the football to a level where he's an impact. And then as a flow-on effect, it does allow him more energy and combat, you know, when he does go into the ruck to compete at a really high level over a sustained period of time, rather than trying to shoulder that whole load as a young man, which he's done in the last couple of years. So, the flow-on effect of Steph, not only on field, but during the week in Monday to Friday with his training standards, has been fantastic. And I'm really excited, to have him.
Ash, great to have you on. It was a nice hit out today. You guys are going to get a fair few players back. Can you just give us an update on Mason? Adam Treloar, and if he's going to play round one, and also Easton Wood, not Mason Wood.
Yes. So both of those boys, are on track for our next practice match, we hope, against Melbourne. That's in 12 days' time. So, you know, there's a fair bit of time for those two to progress through a number of training sessions and put their hand up. But with both of their training histories, if they don't get up for that last practice match, you know, certainly in line for round one, you know, being in, you know, 3 weeks' time. Both incredibly important players, and we certainly know Adam's ability and what flexibility he can give us as a midfielder and even as a high half forward. So, they'll be welcomed in, along with Norts and Jackson McRae in the coming weeks. It'll be exciting for the group.
Good on you, Ash, and all the best to the Bulldogs. A lot of people think there's exciting things ahead for the Western Bulldogs and their tribe. Good luck.
Thanks, Jared.
Ashley Hansen, one of the greats of the West Coast Eagles in a powerful era.
He was a good player.
He was a very good player. Indeed he was. And he's a very good coach from all reports as well. That's why the Dogs are very keen on him. Ashley Hansen, Western Bulldogs assistant coach.
It's amazing, Jared, that I know Josh Shackey hasn't turned out to the player that people thought he might be. But number two pick behind Jacob Wiedering. Mm. And then Jamari Ugay, number one pick. Today coming out of the goal square together in the reserves.
Were they?
Like, they've got some pretty good depth, the Western Bulldogs, on that list.
I'm hoping, Scoop, this is only a hope. You can put this down as potentially a prediction.
Okay. It's a PP.
A PP that the stand rule will favour full forwards.
Because of faster ball movement.
Faster ball movement. To stay deep. Come out of the goal square. Lead, mark, kick goals. Lead,
that'd
mark, kick goals.
We all love big forwards.
Lead, mark, kick goals. Wouldn't that be great?
Didn't the guy we had on earlier used to do that a fair bit, Richo?
Oh, indeed.
He did it 800 times, I think.
He did it more times than most, Scoop. And that's why he was very keen on the idea when I suggested
it. We'll continue our season previews and take a look at Sydney next.
Okay, let me do this